Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson-Bello.
Today I want to talk to you about how to receive what Christ has paid for. How to receive what Christ has paid for. Can we say that together? How to receive what Christ has paid for. Now, it is important to know that what Christ has paid for is the work of grace. But faith receives what grace has provided. Faith receives what grace has provided. It means it is possible for grace to provide something, but you not receiving faith. And God wants you to be able to receive things that have been provided for you. Let me digress a little bit. There is a word of prophecy for someone who is here. You will see the workings of the Holy Ghost in you and the systems of things around you. Now, this word is not for everybody, but it is for some people who are in the systems. The Lord is saying to you that you will see the work of the Spirit of God through you and the system of things. You will come to realize that the system of things which you engage in is designed for the expression of God. Oh, hallelujah. God is bringing you into an elevated place of ministry in your field, says the Lord. God is bringing you into a place of relevance. You know, the supernatural and the system of things are not in conflict. They are not. Just a little bit, not. They are not in conflict. You see, Jesus was walking on water. But I thought about it. Why would Jesus walk on water and sit down in a boat? Think with me now. Why would Jesus walk on water and go sit down on a boat? Why didn't he just walk on water all through? Walk on water all the way to the shores. But he walked on water to show the supernatural side of himself. And then he sits, he even helps someone walk on water. And takes the person he has walked on water together. And they both sit on the boat. And then the boat gets to shore. The boat symbolizes the system of things that has to do with the laws, right? Systems, laws, principles, systems. Systems are not necessarily carnal things, but they are just the systems of things. That in your involvement with the system of things, we'll see the supernatural and we'll see the expression of God in the system of things. Are you following what I'm saying? So God is saying to me, he says, tell my people, some of you are going to be involved in systems that are holding nations, says the Lord. And those nations will depend on you because you have the answer to the system of things that other men cannot see. In other words, you are the Daniel of our time, the Josephs of our time, they are both rising. The Deborahs of our time. The Esthers of our time. The ones who have answers to things arising. If you're one of them, say, I'm one of them. So that's by the way. Now, grace provides, but faith receives. So let's say that together. Grace provides, faith receives. All right, so let's start a very short journey on this. The first thing you must do when you are in church is to have an open mind towards the Word of God. I've always taught that there are three approaches to God's Word. You must believe the Word, you must receive the Word, and you must engage the Word. In that way, you become a partaker of the Word. So to backtrack a little bit before we move forward, Grace, what has it done? Number one, Christ has paid the full price. So you can write that down. Number one, Christ has paid the full price. There is no other price to be paid other than what he has paid. And I'm saying this to say that the basis for your prayer is because the price was paid. And this price that was paid by Jesus Christ is not a price you could have paid. Because if you had the opportunity to pay the price, you could not pay the price. Nobody can pay the price. It was only one man God looked at and saw that paid the price and was satisfied. The sacrifices of bulls, goats, doves did not satisfy God. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 that there was a need for the priest to bring those things every year. But the moment Jesus came on the scene and he died on the cross, it was a perfect and complete payment. So the price has been paid for everything. Now, that is the basis for my prayer, because I will not pray if price was not paid. Prayer is a waste. I want you to see it very clearly. There is no need for you to pray if what you are praying for is not available to you. You only pray because it is available, so that when you pray, you receive it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. You only believe God. You only fast for it, or you fast, or you wait on the Lord. You pray. You study your Bible because it is already available. And it is available only because a price was paid for it. So that is, before we even talk about receiving what we have, we must first of all acknowledge that it is already provided for. Somebody say hallelujah. So Christ has done it all. So that is the first one. And number two is, what Christ has paid for belongs to me. Oh, hallelujah. I wish some people are getting what I'm saying right now. What Christ has what paid for belongs to me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Let's see that very quickly. Romans chapter 8 verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? What does it say now? Freely. See, I know you've heard the scripture before, but you see, the more you engage, engagement has to do with talking the scripture. We'll get there. It has to do with talking the scripture, reciting the scripture, meditating on the scripture. So I want you to engage, all right? Because the more you do that, the more your spirit is in agreement with you. Now let's read that part together. It says, how shall he not with him also what? So let us say together, freely give us all things. One more time. One last time. Now listen, everything has been given to you freely. Freely. And the Bible did not say, because God gave Jesus, he's going to give you all things. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says, as he gave Jesus. Because when you say that way, because God gave Jesus, why can't he give you all things? It puts a level of distance to when you have received all things. You receive all things after Christ was given. But the correct perspective is you receive all things when Christ was given. So for example, if I call Minister Gift now. In fact, you know what? All of you who is on this line, let's do an illustration. This first line, all of you stand on this first line. Minister Gift is Jesus. For the sake of the fact that you are the one who released the album. So come, man of God. All of you just walk towards me. Now, this is Jesus. This is, line up on one line, thank you. This is goodness. Let's go to the middle. This is Jesus. This is I actually want to do the illustration by her name. So this is Blessing. So her name is Blessing. So let's use Blessing. Jesus married Blessing. This is, by the way, this is Minister Gibbs' wife. Yeah. So, this is Jesus. This is Blessing. Come this way now. Are you scared? I can't use your name. Come forward. So, this is Goodness. This is Grace. This is Mercy. And this is Peculiar. Her real name is Peculiar. Her real name is Wisdom. We'll use Wisdom. We'll use Wisdom. We'll use Peculiar. Her real name is Precious. Let's use Precious Grace. That's what we use. And Goodness. Blessing. Now, all of these are attached to Jesus. The Bible did not say when Jesus was given or because Jesus was given, anyone you choose, God will now decide in heaven, send Wisdom to her or send Blessing to her. No. The Bible says that when Jesus was given, he who did not spare his own son, he's saying that the most important out of all of this is not Blessing. Blessing is not the most important factor in your Christian faith. It's not even joy. It's not goodness. It's not wisdom. It's not any of these things. The one that stretched God the most to give, because in the Old Testament, he gave all of this. There were people in the Old Testament who had wisdom. Some of it came on them as gifts and graces. But none of them had this man. Rather, all of the people in the Old Testament prophesied about that man. So the Bible now says that we have come into the perfection of all things. Yeah. That the what you have is what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Elijah, who called fire from heaven, Moses, who parted the Red Sea, what all of those people had cannot be compared to what the day one Christian, what the day one Christian has. It is impossible to compare, because Jesus said it this way, that of all men born of woman, the greatest of all men born, including Samson, who tore the mouth of lion. You know, for them to look for the strength of Samson means that Samson did not have muscle. Follow me? For them to ask Delilah, come, we're going to pay you, but this money we're giving you is so you find out the secret of his strength. If Samson was built, it would be a no-brainer. Are you getting this? But how can you? Let me use another person as an example now. Yes, let me look for anybody who has been looking for my trouble. Now it's your turn to enter my trouble right now. Jerry, run down quickly. I don't have time. Quick. Jerry, come. Some of you will not even know who Samson is when you get to heaven, if not for the eternal knowledge of God. You pass, you say, wait, now Samson be this. You go and pass again. Come, are you really Samson? He said, I'm Samson. Now, this is, in my opinion, this is my translation now. This is what I believe Samson looked like. You see, my book of Bible story just, he drew somebody with six packs. Leave that in. Someone with muscle. It's not muscle or six packs that can bring wolves and tie their tails together. It's not a function of six packs. It's not a function of six packs and muscle that a man will carry the gate of a city and climb up a hill. And it's not a function of muscle that they are wondering where his strength is. So they call Delilah, come. Wonderful Chikala. Let's find the strength of this guy. Because if you look at Gray now, this is my son. He's still in school, doing wonderful for the Lord. Gray is actually the pastor of our Gwagwalada church. All the students in University of Abuja, he's the pastor. You see, but two of his chest put together is like one of Pastor Nuhu's chest. One. You see? Yes, now it's my turn now. I know. Don't worry, I owe you something after this service for using you like this. Then this is hand. This is the humerus bone. The humerus bone. It's like spaghetti. This hand. Then this is like the fork you used to eat in your house. Then Jelly, where again should I finish? But they said this is Samson. Jesus said, of all men born of woman. Samson, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, who did double portion, says, where is the Lord God of my father? He said, the greatest is John the Baptist. Headache. John the Baptist did not heal. Common headache. All John the Baptist was doing was in the wilderness crying, prepare the way of the Lord. That's all he did. So all those prophets were prophesying to Jesus. But John the Baptist was saying, look at him here. And Jesus said, for you to have the privilege of my time, to being in my era, to being in my space, to say, look at him. It makes you greater than those who did miracles and said the Lord is coming in generations to come. Then he now goes on. It gets better. He now gets better by saying that the one in the kingdom, the least in the kingdom, is greater than the greatest in the Old Testament. So what stretched God is the release of Jesus. I'm trying to open your spirit up to seeing possibilities that all things are yours. Are you with me here? Now, when God finally released Jesus, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. When he did this, that was the stretch. And the moment that happened, the Bible says that everything you're asking for came with him. So if I call Jesus to come to me now, it is all of them who are coming. Okay, let's give him a name. So you know what your name is going to be? Greatness. Greatness came along. Jesus come, and then all of them comes together with Jesus. Oof. So the Bible now says that all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. Ooh. And we say the amen to the promises of God. It means we can look at what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and we can now say healing is mine. We can say prosperity is mine. We can say favor is mine. We can say ability, wisdom is mine. Come on, say yours right now. Come on, go ahead. Greatness is mine. Are you following what I'm saying right now? All things are given freely. The good thing is we don't have to pay for it. We don't have to pay for it. It's freely given. Now, here is the catch. We don't have to pay for it, but we have to receive it. And the receiving it sometimes looks like a payment, but it's not a payment. The receiving is where there is a lot of engagement from your end. Because God has sorted his end. Look, I don't want to get to heaven and God shows me my possibility. God forbid a bad thing. You know where God will open to you and show you, I gave you the city. And all you did was just battle with one land. He says, I gave you Nigeria. And all you did was take only Abuja. God said, in you I put capacity for the globe. And all you did was take only Nigeria. The city is open to you. Yeah. Now, see, everything Christ paid for. Do you know why Jesus rose up on the third day? He rose up so that he will be alive to witness that you receive what he died for. So believers must learn how to receive. So the problem in the church is a receiving problem, not the payment problem. Yes, payment is concluded. Yes, but it is the receiving problem. So how do we now receive? That's where the wahala is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter, I want to show you something there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Somebody say rest. Who here is receiving the rest of God? Somebody say, I receive rest. Now, I want you to say this with me. Say, I speak peace to my soul. And you know what that means? It means I'm bringing a still, small voice to the noise in your head. Now, for some of you who are troubled, who are disturbed, who are worried, who are in anxiety, the Lord says, I am giving you peace right now. I release upon you peace in your mind right now. For those of you who are worrying, how shall these things be? I'm telling you that it will be when the Holy Ghost overshadows you and you shall become partakers of what he has spoken to you about. If that word is for you, come on, say it louder. Amen. So he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. I'm trying to show you that it is free, but you have to receive. Now look at verse 29. Now verse 29 now says, take my yoke. So this is what receiving does. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. So he says, take my yoke. What is the yoke here? The yoke here is the burden of learning. Come on, amen. The yoke here is the burden of learning. I need to learn how to receive so that what is fully paid for becomes mine in the experience. Because it is mine in position, but it is not mine in experience yet. So how do I translate it being mine from position to experience? Receiving. And how do I receive? Take my yoke and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hey, I just thought that he gave us rest already. Now, when you came to him, he said, come to me, and you will find rest. So when you came to him, you found rest. But he says, when you learn of him, you will find rest for your souls. So it makes it look as if finding rest is in two folds. There is an initial deposit of rest that I have come into. Then there is an experiential manifestation of rest that I come into by learning. That the more I learn, the more I am opened up into rest. Are you still with me, somebody? Then verse 30. What is it, verse 30? It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Show me James chapter 1 and verse 21. I'm going to wrap up with this. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1 verse 21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, all right, and superfluity of naughtiness. The King James says superfluity of naughtiness, and receive. You see that word there, receive? Receive what? With meekness, the implanted. The King James says the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, look at this. Before you receive, you must be a master in laying aside. Before, can I say that again? Before you receive, you have received Jesus. If you've received Jesus, say, I have. All right, all of us have received Jesus. But before we experience what came with Jesus, we must learn to lay aside to receive. So it says, use the King James, lay apart all filthiness. Filthiness is contamination. One of the things that can contaminate you enjoying the blessings that comes with Christ is a wrong mindset. So you must drop negative mindsets, negative mentalities. When you come to church, drop your opinions. If the pastor is saying, today is your day, you know, what will follow that pronouncement will be questions. But for how long? I believed it last week. When will it really be my day? Drop it. And just receive it. So you must learn how to drop things. Drop contaminations. Drop doubts. Drop your unbeliefs. Drop your fears. Put them aside. God did not need a man for Mary to have a child. So what makes you think God needs a womb for a woman to have a child? I was told of a miracle Archbishop Benson Idahosa did. Now, he has done all kinds of miracles. Healed the blind, opened the blind eyes and all. But there was this particular blind guy that came for his crusade. It was quite different. All the blind Archbishop opened to see had eyeballs. Now, this guy came. All he had was just socket. No eyeball. And the guy had more faith than those who were not even really sick. The guy without the eyeball, he just had socket. Archbishop went, he said, God, at least you go give me something make I work with. All the people I've healed have eyeball. This one does not even have eyeball. Where am I going to start from? And God reminded him by saying, when you pray for the sick, are you the one who puts the eyeball there? Are you the one that opens the eye there? Who told you I need eyeball? He repented, went back and laid hands on the guy. Listen to me. Without eyeball, this guy began to see. It is fact. You can go verify. This guy began to see. There are some of you who don't believe in miracles. You know why? Because you've never experienced one. You are the one I came for. Because right now I don't need your faith. I just need you to be under air shots of my words. Because as I'm speaking right now, you will see miracles working undoubtedly in your life. There were two of our first timers that came to church. We were with them on Saturday, not yesterday, upper Saturday. And I told them to share their experiences since they joined TSP. One has been in church for 4 weeks, another has been in church for like 2 weeks. And two first-timers said, the moment they came to TSP, one had a leg pain. It was a lady, had a leg pain. God healed instantly on white party. Instantly, during white party. And she was like, I need to try this thing. She woke up the next morning, did not feel the pain. And it was real to her that truly God had done a miracle. Another brother who came for the first time was feeling shocking sensations in his leg. He said it's been on for 2 months. And he just realized that he came for the service, he was gone. The next day, he didn't feel the pain because he felt it every day. And he made a statement, he said, maybe this thing they bobo me, or maybe they whine me. And then all of a sudden, days passes, nothing happened, it didn't come back. He couldn't hold it. Do you know what? In the days of his power, see, the people shall be willing. You will not need to be talking too much. All right? when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem, and until you are endued with power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon me, you shall be witnesses unto me. Because God, Jesus did not want you to carry the gospel with just mere talk. He wants you to carry the gospel with signs and wonders. I and they that the Lord has given to me, they are made, we are all made for signs and wonders. I believe in miracles. So expect one. Come on, amen. Expect one right now. I don't know what kind of miracle you're trusting God for. Financial miracles? Paul, can you come and help me? Financial miracles? Relationship miracles? All right? Career miracles? Miracles of the mind? Miracles in your body? Listen to me. God still heals today. One of the reasons why you are here is because you will prove the existence of God in your time, in your family, in your generation, in your work. You will prove that God is. Do you know that your work is an expression for God? Your work. God wants to express himself in your office through you. So that's why we need that office. Talk to me, somebody. He says, I and they which the Lord has given were made for signs and wonders. So he says, lay aside all of these things and receive with meekness. The word is already engrafted, but he says, still receive it. You are born again by that word, but he says, still receive the word. You have heard the gospel before. Some of you, if I talk to you about the gospel, you say, Pastor, I've heard it before. That's not how to receive it. When you hear it before, you hear it again and again and again, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And that word of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it says faith cometh by hearing. So it says you receive it. Say it with me. Say, I receive. Now say this with me. Say, be it unto me your word. Now, it says, which is able to save your soul. The word save there is the word sozo. And sozo means, all right, it means deliverance, it means prosperity, it means well-being. It also means salvation. It also means healing. And it speaks of your souls. Your soul is three compartments. There is your mind, there is the decision part of you, there is the emotion part of you, and there is the intellectual part of you, right? But he says that the word of God is able to bring life to your soul. Look at the next verse, verse 22. But be doers, come on, amen. But be doers of the word, and not just hearers only. The word hearers only is akrotes in the Greek. Akrotes means one who is just he's an entertainer, all right? He's a spectator of the word. People come to church and they spectate. They spectate. They just look around. They just observe who's not worshiping well. They observe the sound, observe the atmosphere, observe the people. Is this how they are? Meanwhile, you are blinded to why you came in the first place. He says, he who comes to God must believe that God is. Do you know that you have come unto Mount Zion as we are gathered? We have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. Listen to me. You came here for service, but there are angels scattered all around with gifts and packages for people. And it's up to you to receive. Some of us, it's familiarity. We won't receive. Familiarity, see finish. Not gonna let you receive. Some of you is because your mind is not just in one place. You are distracted by this and by that. You know what Jesus said to Martha? He told Martha, he said, your sister Mary has chosen the good part. What is the good part? That she sat at the feet of Jesus and she was not distracted. She was just focused on Jesus. Not one who is, you know, who is an entertainer, or one who is a spectator, But it says be doers. All right? The word doers in the Greek is poetes. It's like a poet. Is one who performs the word. So he says, don't be a hearer only, but be a performer of the word. How do you perform the word? The word is given to you, and then you say it back. You talk it back. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, for thou shalt meditate day and night. You recite the word to yourself. Pastor Phil taught about joy last week. I want to practicalize this joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the afternoon, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the evening, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I dare you, if you are not happy, or if joy does not flood your spirit, one of you is lying. Either you or the word. But you know what? The word cannot fail. Because the word is tried 7 times, and there are results to the word. Right? And then you meditate on the word. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I am the healed of God. I cannot be sick, for blood was shed for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, to receive riches, to receive glory, to receive blessing. I have it. Hey. The more you talk it, the more you say it, that is what it means to receive. You already have Jesus, but you need some greatness. Huh? Are you still here, somebody? You need some peculiar grace. You need some wisdom. You need some favor. You are the child of the King. Are you with me now? You need some blessing. So you have to pull what is yours in your direction. Come on, amen. So you must be a well-taught believer. Opposition will come. Satan will throw. There is a devil that is set on loose for you. But you know what? The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to obedience, to the obedience of Christ. In other words, you hear the word on Sunday. On Monday, there is a contrast, opposite. That is, there's no connection. Opposite thought and idea. He says you pull it down and you bring it to subjection until it obeys Christ. That's how to receive. Are you still here now? That's what it means to receive of the Lord. And you know what? Today, there are miracles hanging all over people's heads right now. There are supernatural events that are going to take place in your life. Okay? It also means that there will be Holy Ghost coincidences. There will be things put together for your sake. There will be things put together for your benefit. There will be meetings held just because of you. There will be programs organized for your favor. There will be opportunities and doors that will open up for you. And you know what you're going to do? You're not going to let it pass. You will say, Lord, I take what is mine. Why? Because you have given Jesus. How shall not with him freely give us all things? Now, say with me, say, I have Jesus. And listen to me, because you have Jesus, you have everything. All things are yours. All things are yours. Am I talking to people right now? All things are yours. All things are yours. I said all things are yours. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing wanting, but all things are yours. Listen to me. There is nothing you are praying to God for that you don't have in Christ. Blessed be God, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God who has blessed us with all blessings in the heavenly places. And he says that because you are blessed in the heavenly places, let me climb up. It means that Whatever is going to bring curse to you has to go above heavenly places. Because in those days, when you want to curse, you have to climb on a pavement to curse and look down on a people. That's how to curse. So God says in this covenant that is with blessings but without curses, He says, I'm going to bless you in a place where curse can't climb above. So He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us where? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. Meaning that you are already blessed there and you establish it here. It says you pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's saying that what is done here is already done there. And you're already blessed in the heavenly places. So it's saying that it is done here. Lift your hands. Miracles are flowing right now in this place. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Depression is leaving this house right now. There's some of you who came here expectant. Miracles are coming right now. Miracles are coming right now. And in the next 2 weeks, you would have reasons to testify. In the next 3 days, you would have reasons to testify. In the next few months, before the end of the year, I prophesy in the name that is above every name that your season of favor has come. Your season of lifting has come. Your hour of deliverance has come. Your hour of light has come. You know your amen can be better than that, right? I said your season has come. Your lifting has come. Your glory has come. Your rising has come. For thou, O God, art a shield for me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. If you came here sick, check your body right now. Check right now. You are healed instantly. I mean instantly. If you came here sick, all right, check your body right now. Run down to me if you feel a difference in your body. For some of you, it's going to be mental. For some of you, it's going to be emotional. And one of the markers of the deliverance that God has brought, you will have joy and there will be peace in your heart. Either you have one or you have the two, but it's a sign of what is about to happen. You are feeling an overwhelming joy. You are the one I'm talking about. You are feeling an overwhelming peace. You are the one I'm talking about. Because that peace is speaking of the future. The joy is talking of the future. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. There's somebody here, God is healing you of chronic back pain. I don't know who you are, but it's been on for a long time. And I see the angel of the Lord touching your back. You couldn't bend forward, but if you check it right now, you realize that you can bend because the Holy Ghost has touched you. There's a lady here, God is delivering you from fibroid. God is delivering you. He's shrinking that fibroid right now. He's shrinking that fibroid right now. There's a lady who is having unwanted, uncontrolled bleeding. And the Lord says, I should tell you, the end of it has come. Your normal cycle will resume again, says the Lord in the name of Jesus. And there are some people who are here, you are trusting God for open doors. I speak to the gates of Abuja, be lifted for the people of God. Let the doors be open now. Let the doors be open now. Let the gates be open now. Let the gates be open now. Let the city be open to you.
There are some of you who are believing God for a life partner, and the Lord says, I should let you know, your season has come. You see, you have waited for long, all right? But God says, I kept yours for you. And yours is going to come. When that yours comes, you will recognize that it is yours. And it's going to happen in a short while from now, says the Lord. The sign is that you will have peace about it. Lift your hands, lift your hands. I pray for everyone who is trusting God for the fruit of the womb. Receive your miracles right now. Receive your babies right now. All right? I pray for those who need financial increase. Receive supernatural breakthroughs right now. Let the floodgates of heaven pour down on your bank account in a way of favor, in a way of ideas, that wealth will flow from you in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to release some of you into a new level of favor. A new level of favor. A new level of favor. Favor is one of the most abused words in church. Favor. But you see, when you experience favor, when someone says favor, you will know what the person is saying. A lot of people have not experienced favor. Favor is what many years and months of labor cannot do. That's what favor does. Favor is like free of charge. They like you for reasons they don't know why they like you. But we just know it is your turn. I don't know whose turn has come right now. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them who dream. So lift your hands. I release upon you supernatural favor right now. You have favor with God and you have favor with man. I'm going to say that again, but make your amen better. I said you have favor with God. You have favor with man. You have favor with God. Therefore, you have favor with man. You have favor with God. You have favor with man. Now say with me, say, I have favor. Shout it again, say, I have favor. Favor on all sides. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.